time when I was with you, that, that God has treated you very well, even though from the earthly standpoint, it sure doesn't look like that way, does it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if everyone knows, but I was going for a liver transplant with the hope of getting it. And we worked towards that end, taking many tests up at the Mayo Clinic. And we were up there more than 3 months. And we were called in at least 3 times, I think. Four times. And one time we were called in. And we were actually put under anesthetic and they were ready to do the liver transplant and they found a fatty liver. So they had to bring me out of that, which was very painful. And then the day came when I would get the liver transplant. And they went to transplant the liver. The first thing they do is go to your, lymph nodes, yeah. They go to your lymph nodes and, the cancer had spread into the lymph nodes, so they didn't give me a liver. And I was phoned back up and told to go home.
Does the time while you were up there for that period of time, obviously the waiting, you must have had incredible patience to tolerate all that waiting.
Yeah.
What went on between you and God?
Oh, I committed my life to the Lord. I had a good mate here and Diane and I did a lot of things that we always wanted to do together, which we never had time to do. And it was that type of a time. And then a lot of tests, you know. And that was, you know, every couple of days I was getting hoaxed. But, yeah, I was trusting in the Lord, and when they took me in to actually have a transplant, I just said to the Lord, I just commit my life into your hands. So, the Lord brought me out of it, but no liver. So,
one of the things I find fascinating about this is when Christians are in situations like you've been through, it's amazing the frankness with which they deal with God or communicate with God. As the story told here once, was very interesting. My father had a heart attack one time, and he spent the whole night, even though they had him very heavily sedated, kept himself awake. And I said to him in the morning, oh, he said, I spent the whole night pleading with God that he could keep me around until my youngest son was 18 years of age. And the youngest son was much, much younger than me, 10 years out. I said, okay, that's fascinating. And then it ended up that he died 8 days before my youngest brother's 18th birthday. And the way he talked about that thing that occurred, you know, it was a 10-year period, but when it happened, it's just like you talking to your wife. I mean, he's very open. There's no hesitation to talk to God.
No. And all masks are down.
Right.
You're not a phony man. It's do or die. And not that I had masks, but it gets real. And I prayed and I wanted to fight, I wanted to live. Not for my, for me so much as much for my family.
During your time, you mentioned to me that there were certain passages that you found very comforting. Oh, you got some of those? I'll read it for you.
Well, one is Psalm 16.
Whole Psalm?
Yeah, I don't think it's very long.
Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, apart from you I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones to whom is all my delight. Sorrows of those who increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood, or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. Made my lot secure. Boundary lines have fallen from me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest secure. Says you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let the Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand.
After I got out of surgery, they were pumping all kinds of food into me to try to get me strong, and my liver couldn't handle it, and my protein count went way up, and so then I went into a stupor. That was kooky. but the Lord was with me. I felt love of the Lord. I knew what I was doing, but I just, the Lord was there. When you say praise the Lord, as I do, a thousand times a day, it gets deep into your subconscious, into your heart. And that's what we were experiencing there. Ed's waiting for me to tell him.
You have ups and downs, and you're tired. Said the same thing. We tell him. How did you muddle through it all?
I think he support and care about me. I really thought that we would be too very alone, and I still feel that way.
You could feel it. At times like this, it seems to me the family is very important too. If you go through the process of raising adolescence and you get very, very frustrated, but it pays off once you get past that point.
Our children are wonderful. I think we have the best children in the whole world.
Diane's been wonderful. She saved Mayo thousands of dollars where she cared for me. She never left my side. She did everything.
You begin to appreciate the vows, through sickness, et cetera, and sorrow, and how the marriage institution really does work. The one time Billy Graham, on his 70th birthday, got off an airplane. There was much news in there. And one, it appeared to be a wise guy, type of reporter, said to him, "Mr. Graham, if you had life to live over again, what would you do differently?" And he just shot right back. It was really amazing. He said, "Number one, I would have had more children." Well, he had six children, and I couldn't figure that one out. "Number two," he said, "I would have gotten into the Word a great deal more. And number three, I would have prayed a great deal more." Any comments or reactions? If you had to live life to live over again, what would you do differently?
I don't know. I haven't thought that. I just live a day at a time and ask the Lord to lead me a day at a time. And I'm thankful for the time I was in Turkey. I'm thankful for every day I was there. And thankful for every day I was in Germany. And the Lord brought me to the stage just at the right time. So, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't in that frame of mind, really. You know what I mean? I guess I'm not that ambitious.
Yeah, but the point is, it may be that you tell you really do highly appreciate God's love and kindness.
Oh.
You just put your faith in Him and things are taken care of themselves.
If I hadn't come to the Lord, I wouldn't be alive today. My doctor told me. I had a very serious illness. And I told the doctor, I don't want to know how long I have to live. Because I want to live till I die. I don't want to wait around and die. And they're not giving me any medication or anything. And I'm sort of on his case about possibly letting me go back to Europe for a little bit. But I don't know.
What are the passages that you found to be a comfort to you?
At this time?
Yes. We just read Psalm 16. What other?
Psalm 142.
Psalm 142. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaints before Him. Before Him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge, no one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me, as the people in the city. Let me ask you this. Do you have any particular hymn that you really like that's much different than any other hymn?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's in German.
well, you ask your kids to sing it. Do you have any English ones?
Oh, I like all of them. But, I don't have the tapes. I shouldn't be like, but,
You know, let me explain. I want to interject something here. That was another thing that surprised me the other day, and that was this. You know, it's really strange. Let me go back to the story. David Livingston, in the middle of 1800s, he was traveling, one of the first ones that he traveled to the central part of Africa. And he said something that was really amazing. He said, whenever I would come up to a new tribe, I would see the chief, and if he didn't have a good sense of humor, I got out of that area before nightfall. And there's something about a person's sense of humor that really fascinating. And that is this. You can almost tell sometimes a person's spirituality by the sense of humor that they have. Mellowness, not a hard, rash type sense of humor. And that's what amazed me in our conversations with you, was the very quiet sense of humor you had, and you had a lot of it. So I don't think that's a negative thing. I think that's good. What did your wife think about your sense of humor?
She laughed.
But isn't it amazing how people who have the highest level of hope, a lot of times they have a very good sense of humor, they can laugh at themselves. You're going to say something before I interrupt them.
Well, my aunt's just been great. And my kids served me night and day. They drove up there every weekend. You couldn't believe it. Maybe someone else has some questions.
Yes, anyone have any questions?
anything.
Why do you want to go back to Europe?
Well, I'll answer this and get to you. Pardon? I want to go back to Europe to get a couple days in a nice house that has been offered to us by a very lovely family in the assembly. And Dr. Alan Wright, you all know him. He is a dear brother. He is a brother, the Lord. And he has given us a ticket, round trip, to Europe, if I get permission. And so, I'd like to go to that house for maybe 2 days, and then I'd like to go up to where we work and see the assemblies that we work with. And then I would like to go over to England and see my friend, whatever it's going to be.
And when did your grandchild arrive?
In September. Oh, I'll tell you, I can honestly say that not one liver specialist and not one surgeon that had anything to do with me didn't come to hear about the Lord Jesus. Because I don't care if I'm a nerd and a jerk and I shared this, I shared with every one of my surgeons since then. But he had to respect me. He's a Dutch atheist, maybe. But they all listened and respected. And then my family started coming. And backed it up with a life that they were just put the word flabbergasted. They said, "Wow, I've never seen anything like that." How Diane stayed with us and family. They saw all that because I think you're coming in almost daily. And checking them.
Isn't it amazing how very often some of the most powerful sermons in the world are sermons that you people ask, not just really what they say. But recently, about a week and a half ago, a new book came out, the autobiography of Ken Taylor, who wrote the Living Bible, and he mentions in there the fact that he went to this conference when Ken was in his early 20s, and he was very shy. I said, I've never shared the gospel with anybody. And one of the assignments I had to do at this conference was I had to go out into a local park and share the gospel with somebody. And he was describing how terrified he was. And yet, when he actually did it, he said it was a good question.
Yeah. You're a geek for the Lord. We're not going to be here long.
Right.
None of us. No, I wasn't in the reading mood, and Diane would read to me and sing to me, and I would just listen. But those two particular psalms I read over and over, and that's why I mentioned that.
It was during our bronze hymn number 202.
Too much water. No. It's over.
No.
About things, and And I thought, well, my dad and my sisters don't need all this party to make, they seem to be happy. So I thought I'm going to go back and see what they got I can get. And went back and home, and they invited me to Yosemite Bible Conference. And to their surprise, I was willing to go. And one night that week, I knew the gospel. I could preach the gospel. But one night that week, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was still on these drugs when I came home, and I couldn't change my life that much. So then we had an assembly. Jerry knows it. You were either in fellowship or out of fellowship. And when I got back from Yosemite, they saw this big change being, you know, and they asked me if I'd like to be baptized. I said, yeah. So my sister and I were baptized. And I missed 3 Sundays of church, going for 3 Sundays. And Mr. Hillis wanted to meet with me. Why was I not there? And I go, oh boy. I convinced him I wanted to live for the Lord. And just at that time, Brother Dale Roton came from Wheaton here, visited our assembly, and he spoke on true discipleship. Lest you forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. Absolute surrender. And I went home and just absolutely surrendered to the Lord. And from that night, there was a different power in my life, and I have not even desired drugs since. And I honestly say, one day at a time. It was a battle, but it was one day at a time. And so about maybe 3 months later, I would have nightmares that I started again. So that was the change in my life, and that was the day I died. I'm already. I was dead when I went to Turkey, and so it's been on the installment plan. If it comes soon, praise the Lord. But I want to tell you, I believe the Lord can heal, and I still pray, Lord, heal me. I encourage everybody to pray, Lord, heal me. But in His sovereignty, He chooses not to. I'm prepared for that too. So that's where I am. In a nutshell. I would say a testimony that one. Mr. Hillis said, I said it was only 2 minutes. Mr. Hillis said, you don't get prettier if you get older. the struggle.
From us that were like Thomas, and we feel an incredible need for ourselves.
Yeah.
And as we read 2 Corinthians 5, and maybe even from your quote with that, maybe you have been placed an encouragement on.
Yeah. I think I spoke on that the one time I spoke it. Living by faith and not by sight. And Paul lived by faith. And that was my desire to live by faith. And I guess we do struggle in this earthly body right now, this earthly tent. But a tent is not permanent.
We really appreciate you participating today.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it's time to close right now.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to do is have Brad Stringer close.